Good morning. Today we continue the series on the Ten Commandments by examining the sixth commandment as it is recorded for us in Exodus 20, verse 13. You shall not murder. The King James Bible rendition of the sixth commandment is thou shalt not kill. A more faithful translation of the Hebrew language would substitute the word kill with the word murder. Murder is the premeditated, intentional killing of a human being. That is what the sixth commandment prohibits. The sixth commandment prohibits the intentional taking of innocent human life. The sixth commandment also prohibits orchestrating the killing of another human being. In summary, the sixth commandment is saying that human life is not to be trifled with in any shape or form without divine sanction. The sixth commandment does not prohibit killing in the context of self-defense, capital punishment, or a just war, but it would be, however, applicable to abortion, euthanasia, and suicide. Let us look at five things that murder represents spiritually. One, murder is an especially God-affronting sin. God, in speaking to Noah in Genesis 9, verse 6, said, "Whoever shed man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." Murder is a trampling on the intrinsic honor and dignity God conferred on human beings as bearers of the image of God. Murder deprives God of one who was made in his image and for his glory. The murderer tramples on God's design for human existence. Murder is an insult to God. Two, murder is a blood-crying sin. In Genesis 4, after Cain had murdered his brother Abel, God confronted him concerning that sin. God said to Cain, "The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Bible scholars say that the verse would be better translated, "Your brother's blood cries out to me." In other words, generations yet unborn were aborted in the bloodline because of this act of murder. God is a generational God. God thinks in terms of future generations, and it was a source of great disappointment to God that the bloodline of Abel had been halted because of murder. Three, murder reveals a person to be a child of Satan. John 8:44, Jesus speaking says, "You are of your father the devil, and desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Essentially, a murderer is a child of Satan. Number four, murder is a cursed sin. It's a sin that brings about a curse on the land. Numbers 35, verse 33 tells us that the shedding of innocent blood defiles the land. In other words, the shedding of innocent blood brings a curse on the land. "So you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles land, and no atonement can be made for the land, for the blood that is shed on it, except for the blood of him who shed it." Numbers 35, 33. Number five, murder is a sin that especially earns the wrath of God. All sins earn the wrath of God, but there is something about murder that especially earns the wrath of God. Revelation 21, verse 8 tells us that murderers are included in a list of sinners that are particularly marked out for their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The sixth commandment not only prohibits violent acts of murder, but all violent emotions and intentions of the heart. These I call roots of murder. Here I will list a few things that form the root of murder. One, an untamed desire for revenge. Romans 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. 2, a heart issue. Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. God hates these evil desires of the heart, and he looks upon them as secret murder and judges them the same as the deed itself. We must refuse to carry around malice and hatred that would deny the dignity of those at whom we would hurl venomous words. It is an evil heart that would move from irritation to anger to hatred to murder. 3, anger. Anger is a root of murder. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 21, 2 to 22, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of hellfire. 4, hatred is a root of murder. 1 John 3, verse 15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. 5, envy is a root of murder. God tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, and friendly to them. Romans 12, 9 through to 21 summarizes the attitude that we ought to have, and if we do indeed embrace this attitude, murder will be something very distant from us. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In the Western legal tradition, we speak of murder as harm to the victim, the victim's friends and family and circle of acquaintances. But in Scripture, the main harm is not to the victim, nor to the victim's friends and the family, but rather to the dignity of God himself. The sixth commandment points us toward reverence for life, but not for the sake of life itself, but because of the Creator. If you're a person who has committed murder, or have even paid or encouraged someone to commit the act, God is still willing to forgive you of that and all of your sins. There is no sin so great that Jesus would not forgive you if you repent and believe the gospel. King David, the man after God's own heart, plotted the murder of Uriah in 2 Samuel 11. It is reported in Acts 22 that the Apostle Paul consented to the murder of Stephen. Both men repented of their sins. God forgave them and used them mightily to do his work. I would encourage all persons who, under the laws of God, have committed murder, to repent of your sins. Surrender your lives to Christ. Learn his word and walk in all his ways. God is still in the business of using former murderers for his great glory. But murderers must first of all repent and believe the gospel. Next week, we look at the seventh commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Until then, may God bless you greatly.